The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 117. Iron Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field to talk shop. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to us on iTunes or YouTube, or join the mailing list at ronmckeefer.com to stay up to date with the latest guests, anything else that I have going on. This week, excited to have Dan McKim with us. If you've been to the conferences or met Dan coming through with Sorinex, this guy is a freaking giant, but he has got a giant heart that kind of goes with it. And so he's just a great guy. We get into a lot of things. I mean, he's a world champion, Highlands Game athlete, national champion as well, and just an incredible athlete. But we get into his, you know, what he attributes his success to, different training programs that he's used in preparation for his competitive career. Talk a little bit about his role with Sorinex and being able to go around and see a bunch of different facilities and see what people are doing and what stood out to him. And so we get into some great topics on this. I know you're going to enjoy this episode. Before we get started, though, we want to make sure we recognize all of our sponsors: Elite Form, Ignition APG, PlayUSA, and, of course, Sorinex. And you know, again, guys, I mean, we're talking with Dan, who represents a fantastic company. And, you know, if you're not following Sorinex on social media, I encourage you to do so. If for nothing else, just some inspiration. I mean, what I like the most and what stands out the most to me is the pride that they have in their product, the pride they have in their service. And then those people that are in the Bosco family, you know, and so they're constantly promoting, you know, the programs. You know, Washington State just put in a room, Wake Forest just put in a room, but more importantly, things like Veterans Alternative, you know, they're helping our veterans have an extremely high passion for helping our current military, our former military. And then, I mean, just some cool things. They're in the best gym in the country that was just rated. You know, they're Florida Georgia Line. You know, they're involved with all kinds of unique aspects of our profession. And if you've ever sat back and really talked shop, I mean, they're practitioners first and equipment manufacturers second. And so can't say enough great things about Sorinex. Encourage you that if you're in the market, that you reach out to these guys and see what they can do. But I can tell you firsthand that they're fantastic to deal with, and you're going to walk away from the conversation, whether or not you choose to go with Sorinex or not, a better strength coach from sitting down talking shop. So I encourage you to reach out to them. Want to get to Dan's show, sit back and enjoy, and we'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Super excited to have this guy on the show, man. He's like the freaking, if you're at the conferences, he's like the big cartoon character running around, lifting everything in sight. And, you know, we've gone back and forth, you know, for a while, and got a chance to get to know him over the year. And, you know, most humble guy in the world, but he keeps calling me sir in his emails, and I keep telling him that if he can throw me over the freaking goalpost, you know, then don't call me sir. I got to call him sir. So I appreciate you coming on the show, sir.
Oh, it's an honor, sir. It's an honor to be here.
Brother, I appreciate it, man. Hey, well, let's get in, you know, because obviously, you know, you're coming at it from a little bit different perspective than the typical strength coach that's on the show. What's been your journey, kind of how you got into strength and conditioning, and then, kind of what's led you to your professional career and what you're doing now with Sornex.
Yeah. I compete professionally in the Scottish Highland Games. So it kind of all started in college, I guess. In high school, I realized I wanted to throw. And the college was crazy enough to give me some money to do it in college and had a very small academic scholarship to go with it. So I was able to get me through school. Fell in love with it. I was actually my senior year in college and realized I was never going to make it to the Olympics. So I decided, I saw on ESPN2, I saw the Scottish Highland Games and I thought, man, that looks like a lot of fun. I should give that a try. And I kind of jumped into it from there. Because it was one of those things where in college I felt like I was training for two different things. I loved to train. I was I still am a meathead. I just love to train, love to work out. And so when I got out, I thought, gosh, I'm just going to train and get big and just lift weights. You know, I wasn't thinking about powerlifting. I wasn't thinking about Olympic lifting, nothing. And it kind of was able to merge the two when I found the Scottish Highland Games. I was 255 coming out of college and quickly realized if I wanted to be competitive, I had to get bigger. So it was kind of a merge of the two, allowing me to be a strength athlete. So from there, man, just competed as an amateur level and then turned pro in 07 and been loving it ever since.
And the best in the world at this point. Won the Highlands Games, the international competition, and doing it regularly at the national level. But, yeah. Matt, you know, what's cool about talking to one of the guys that's the best in what they do, I always kind of – one of the questions I always try to center around is what – I mean, obviously working hard contributes to that. Obviously having a background in throwing and stuff contributes to that. But sure. What aspect of your training specifically – has kind of made the biggest impact on your success?
I'd say willingness to sacrifice and put the time of work in. I mean, for me, I was never the most accomplished thrower. I'm not the most athletic guy. I'm not the strongest guy. So, but for me, it was the willingness to, I don't want to turn this overused as grind, you know, you grind it out and just grind. And so for me, it was doing the things that a lot of guys weren't willing to do. And that was working a full-time job, got the kids, got a wife, getting up at 4:30 in the morning to go train before work, driving an hour into work, and then working all day, and then driving home an hour, and spending time with my family, and having dinner, putting the boys to bed, and then going out and practicing. Right. And I did it just because I love it. And I think a lot of guys get into the sport, or whether that's strength and conditioning, and they see it as a job. I think you've got to see it as a joy and as a fun thing to do, and that's kind of how Highland Games has been for me. It's been a joy. It's been a great time for me.
It's one of the messages we always spend with our athletes. It's not that you have to do it; you get to do it. That's the difference exactly. In the mindset, and just a simple switch, a mental switch, makes a big deal. As you've gotten older, I mean, started in 07. You know, we're you know 8 years later. I'm sure the body, I mean, the beating that you take, you know, by doing this training as hard as you do and things like that, I'm sure like recovery and nutrition and, you know, all these different aspects, the mental side of things have kind of become stuff that have been the X factor in moving forward and staying at a high level. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you do and how you've kind of come to that evolution.
Yeah, I've been very, very blessed. God has kept me from really a lot of injuries. I had a back injury back in 2008, and they kind of re-aggravated it, and it was just kind of a struggle for a few years, and I was able to work through that. But I think what I've realized is when I was in college, like I told you, I was a meathead. I would lift. I was that guy in the weight room for all the strength coaches that loved. You know, I was the guy that would work out, work hard, tell everybody else that they needed to work hard, and I was the guy in there 2.5 hours a day. What was bad is that was 4 or 5 days a week. What was bad is nobody told me anything. Get out of there
right.
And to go recover. So I think how I've changed and adapted is just being able to listen to my body more. Although I have that desire to just train and work hard, I've learned that I got to listen to my body when, you know, maybe I'm run down a little bit or I'm a little more tired. When I've got all these different stresses in life, whether that's kids, wife, work, or travel, or even, you know, ministry stuff that I do, I've got to be able to listen to my body. And I'm getting better about that. Yeah. In 2007, you know, I went 18 months. I remember I went 18 months straight where I lifted 5 days a week and I threw 5 to 6 days a week.
Wow.
For 18 months straight. And guess what happened? I got injured. Yep. Right? It'd be snowing outside. I just loved to do it. I would just go throw. You know, it didn't matter. I was no deload weeks, no off weeks, no nothing. That was like in 04 and 05. And then I realized, you know what? I can't do this. I've got to get smarter about this. The recovery's got to be just as important as that. So the things I do, I try to eat it a lot, but a lot of different rest and active recovery. I get a lot of active recovery with my boys.
Yep.
I have five boys, so it's a lot of playing, going for walks, riding bikes, just making sure I'm out being active while not tearing up my body.
With five boys and yourself, I'm sure your wife, I mean, you guys, it's going to be an interesting food bill here in about 10 years. The, you know, one of the things I talk to our, you know, our interns and our young coaches about all the time is, you know, me personally, and I get a lot of heat about this sometimes, I feel like you have had to have been a competitive athlete to really be a great strength coach. I think, you know, you have to have experienced the grind, like you said, you know, all the balancing the schedule, the mental, you know, component to things. And so sometimes I get young coaches that have never, you know, that weren't college athletes and really didn't understand that part of it, you know, and there's, it's definitely overcomable, but it's something that you have to overcome. And one of my solutions for that is to get out and compete in a sport that makes sense for you to be a strength coach. So Olympic lifting, powerlifting, Highlands Games, mixed martial arts, you know, kettlebell competitions, whatever it may be, but get out and compete, you know, and set goals and have to work through that as your body ages and things like that. For the strength coaches that are listening that have an interest possibly in Highland Games, how would you go about getting into that, maybe at a grassroots level, and then getting, you know, becoming more competitive?
Sure. I think the first step is to examine who's in your area. You know, the big part for me is when I got started was I just went online, I did some searches, I found some phone numbers, and I called up a guy and I said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Can I come out and try it? And he said, you better believe it. You can. Come on out. The community of Highland Games is so welcoming and so open that you're going to find people that are going to help you. So, I mean, I think the first step is go on Facebook. You can also go to nasgaweb.com, NASGAWEB. I think I spelled it right. .com, NASGAWeb.com, and you can find schedules, you can find results, you can find everything you need there. What we can also do is, in all honesty, Ron, I encourage people to reach out to me. If I can help you, if I can help people get into the sport, if I can help grow the sport, that's great for me because it helps everybody. And if I can connect people, so by all means, they can contact me and I'll get them in touch with whoever's kind of in their region. And there's different throwing groups and associations and organizations in different areas. And I can definitely get you in touch with people.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's, you know, I mean, again, it's not one of those things where you have to be the best in the world at it, but getting out and just, you know, having competition, I think is an important factor in your development as a coach. And so even if you're the 120-pound coach, you can still get out there and do something, right? We have a great mutual friend in Bert Sorn and the Sornex family, the Sorn family, and you're working with Sornex now, and so part of your job is going in and seeing, you know, different facilities around the country and training at different places. What have been some of the biggest things that have stood out, not just about, you know, the rooms per se, but like, you know, just the college strength and conditioning, the pro strength and conditioning community, and things that young coaches can take away from your experiences.
I think the most surprising thing is to see the vast different coaching styles, not only programming, because everybody has, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat in terms of strength training and conditioning. I mean, as we know, you can do different things and get results, especially at a young age. When they're in college, they're in high school, if they're eating a lot and they're sleeping, I mean, they're going to grow, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's not to take anything away from it. But what I think has been surprising is the different coaching styles. And I think that's what I would encourage coaches is to say, be your own guy. You know, don't try to overtake somebody else's shtick, and don't try to just absorb everything from, you know, who somebody else is and force it. Be your own guy. Be your own coach. Be your own man, woman, whoever that is. Take pieces from people like yourself that have been very successful in this. Take pieces from Ron. Take pieces from a vast number of coaches. So I think you take pieces from people that have influenced you and that have given you that. And I think the best coaches I've seen, is like you said, I've experienced coaches of different realms and different areas. It's not been the guy who screams the loudest. It's not the guy who's the hardest on the guys. It's not the guys who's, the player's coach. It's the coach who embraces who he is and what he feels is best for his athletes. And that's what makes a great coach, is a coach that can relate and get the most out of his athletes, that loves them, that cares for them, and understands that when it comes down to it, that coach has a desire and a love and in a pursuit for that athlete's success. And that means so much to kids and athletes, because I think that's what, I mean, everybody in general wants that.
No doubt. Well, you know, we talk a lot about it on the show that you spell love, T-I-M-E, you know, what you love, you'll spend time on. And getting to develop relationships with players, that's the number one obstacle in terms of getting them to buy into you as a coach. But and then having a confidence about yourself. I think sometimes, you know, as coaches, we're trying to always search for answers, which is one of the things that makes us great. But, you know, because of that, you don't really have complete confidence in, you know, the type of training you're doing, because you're putting your piecing things together. So having a, you know, having a principle-based program, really being able to pull from different things. And I think, you know, one of the things that I, you know, following you and seeing some of the people that you've talked to and worked with and things like that, you know, embracing outsiders to come in and have an outside perspective of your program and give input and not, you know, not trying to give all the answers, but turn around and listen first, I think is cool. And I know that you've had some experiences like that. And I think that's what makes the great strength coaches great.
Yeah, and you make a great point, because that's one thing that has changed. I've met all these amazing coaches that know so much more than I do and can program so much better than I can and understand the recovery incredibly more than I can. And it's been an awesome asset for my training. It's because I go and I train and I meet with coaches, and I'm like, and I'm always trying to take bits and pieces because I'm learning so much. I'm like, wow. Come home and talk to my wife, and she's like, well, what did you want to learn this time? And I was like, well, I learned that I can do this with my programming, and if I change this on my recovery, then it's going to be so much better. And yep. What's amazing is to see how my training has changed and taking bits and pieces from everybody else. And just like you said, it's been an awesome, awesome journey.
Oh, that's great, man. You know, working with Sorenex and going in and being able to design facilities from the ground up, and, you know, the rooms are changing by the minute. You know, in terms of what's going in out there and things along those lines, what are some common, you know, things that, you know, trends that you're seeing, and what are some common mistakes being made kind of in room design?
Yeah, I think we're going away from the segmenting a room out to where you do different things in different areas. I mean, you know, for years when I was in college too, it was okay, there's like 10 bench presses over here, you bench over here, you incline over here, you military press over here, you squat in this rack, and you clean over here on the platform. And I think what we're seeing is we're seeing a pod system, if you will, where we're gaining access and safety, but also just time management and floor optimization, I guess you could say, is just to be able to do so much more in the rack, to do so much more in your area. It's where your athletes aren't going a million different places. Even you're seeing a growth in the use of power blocks, if you will. And that's an aspect of if every station, every rack has a power block, then we can do our dumbbell work without ever leaving the rack. Right. We're not having some athlete go over and say, well, I can't use the 50s because they're all gone. Yeah, you have a 50 right in front of you.
Right.
Not everybody's going to like to program power blocks, and that's fine. But I think we're seeing that's the kind of that's the kind of change we're seeing. That's the trend we're seeing, is how can we optimize the limited time we have, the limited space we have, by doing more and more within the rack.
Yeah, efficiency is everything, and being able to keep your keep ties on people in the room. That's the other part, right? You know, yeah. But I couldn't agree with you more. I think that, you know, the gone are those days, and being able to really maximize that rack space, and that's what Sorenex does such a great job of, is being able to do so much out of one rack that it makes it easier to program, you know, and keep them there and transition to different exercises pretty seamlessly is definitely the way to go. I think it's the arms race too, you know, and trying to figure out how to kind of one up the next guy, you know, in terms of a room design. But I think, you know, with coaches, What would be your advice? Because I know when I designed the first room that I designed, you always kind of have an idea. You know, you kind of always think that, okay, I want to do this, I want to do that. But you really, what you learn is going through that process, is there's so much more: ventilation and flooring and antimicrobial and all these types of things. What pieces of advice would you have in terms of coaches? You know, where's the first place to start? You know, you're putting together a room.
Yeah.
You want to get some outside input. What are the questions they should be asking?
They should be asking, I think my advice for a lot of coaches has been, get with the administration right away, because you want to have a hand in that. A lot of times what happens is on the equipment, but also on the, especially on the flooring, a lot of times they come and they don't get with the administration right from the get-go, and all of a sudden they're being the contractors deciding the flooring for them. And so they can't decide if they want inlay platforms, they can't decide if they want agility ladder put in the floor or dots or whatever it is, different graphics that they want. They can't always decide that because it's been given to the general contractor. So I tell people, be in constant communication with your administration from the get-go so that you can decide everything. So you get to decide everything based on your program. You're not stuck with everything. But you can also get, I've run into some instances where they say, well, we want to do this, we want to do some, you know, triphasic is very popular training right now, and it's doing a lot of things with the overspeed banded work, so you need some high ceilings. And we go in, and the coach is like, well, now we only got 9-foot ceilings.
Right.
And so it's something they should have, you know, communicated from the get-go with the architect and with the administration. That's for one thing. But also for the equipment side, is a run into where if the coach is not in communication with the administration, then they can't always sell or understand and help the administration understand quality. If you want quality equipment, you want quality anything, it's going to cost more, right? We understand that. And so I think they've got to be in communication to so the administration understands. And they can communicate too, hey, you're going to get a lot of different bids, and it's going to be way down here. And even tell the administration, maybe this is what I'm looking at right from the get-go. This is the company I like. Here are the other two or three that are comparable, and here's who I want. But I think that's communication, you know, openness with that, because too many times you come down to the bid process at the end and you haven't done your homework, and you know, it's not like you're going to do this every year.
Right.
So you're awarded something maybe that you didn't want. So I think for me it's communication and understanding of what you want. And reach out to people like me or whoever you're going to go with, whether that's you know, a different equipment company. Reach out to them early as possible, so that you can do drawings, so that you can do understanding, you can do spec sheets, you can do whatever you need to get done, so that you can bring that to the administration, that you've done your homework, and they take you that much more seriously and give you that much more leeway.
That's right. Well, I think the biggest takeaway from that is you know, we have to educate ourselves so that we're not the meathead strength coach in the architectural meeting saying, hey, I just need lots of racks, you know. We need to be able to go in there and say, talk intelligently about that process and talk about the different aspects from an architectural type of standpoint of, you know, where, you know, electric should go and how many outlets and, you know, where, you know, type of ventilation that's required and ceiling height and type of flooring. And, you know, and unless you've gone through it, sometimes it's, you know, what happens is they come downstairs at the last minute because that's what they do. And say, well, how many outlets do you want? Well, you have no idea. So you're like, you know, you look like the dummy, right? And so they don't take you seriously in those meetings. You know, by going on the front end and really researching things and having a plan and an idea and knowing numbers and things like that makes a big difference in those types of meetings. So I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I want to get you back to your boys, man. I know this is, you know, we've been trying to set this up for a while, but I want to end the show with some resources. So give us, you know, the best piece of either training or coaching advice you've kind of ever received.
Oh, man. The best training advice that I've ever received. Man, I've received so much in the last year. I think it's hard to whittle it down from there. I think for me it was an understanding. Like, it was whether that came from my dad or whether it came from my first coach, I don't know. But it was how bad do you want it, and how bad do you want to do and reach the goals you want to reach. My freshman year college, I came in, and I was strong, but I really didn't put a lot of time in the weight room and as much as I should. And I got a hernia. So I decided, I was like, man, I can't lift for a while. And I realized once it was taken away from me how much I really enjoyed it, how much I loved it. And so it was that understanding in meeting with my strength coach at the time, John Gustafson, there at Northwest Missouri State. And it was an understanding of, you know, you realize it's gone. Now how much do you want it? And I think that for me has applied a lot of different ways. When I was hurt in 2008 and I thought I was going to retire from the Highland Games before I even got really started, how bad do I want it? What am I willing to change within my programming and to adapt to injury and to prepare for injury? And so I think it was more of an understanding, I guess, for me, that was the biggest change, was that once it's gone, it's gone.
Absolutely.
You can't get that time back. You can't get the opportunities back. And that's applied for me in a million other areas of life. But it was 2010, Portland Highland Games. I finished fifth, right? It was like my best game. But at the time, I was coming up as a pro. But I realized, you know what? I want more than just this. I want more than just being in the middle of the pack.
Right.
And I realized I had to go to the well. I know for me, I'm not the most athletic. I'm not the strongest. So for me, every event, out of eight events, I had to go to the well every single time. All I got, leave it all out there or else I'm not going to be successful. And I made that change, and it applied to a lot of different areas of my life. But I made that change too. And then I went on to win my first U.S. championship, and then won four straight, and then won three world championships since then. But it's been that understanding of once it's gone, it's gone. You can't get that time back. So whether it's programming or throwing or coaching, realize that, you know, the time is limited.
No doubt. Something I preach to our athletes every time. I mean, 2 hours from now, it's coming no matter what. So we might as well make advantage of these 2 hours that we have.
Yeah.
And, no, I couldn't agree with you more. What about you know, I mean, you're doing lots of travel, so there's lots of opportunity to read and you know, surf the web and things like that. Give us a book recommendation, a website recommendation, and an app recommendation.
Okay, I would check out Triphasic Training by Cal Dietz and Ben Peterson. Yeah. That's something that is really, really piqued my interest. I had some time to spend with Cal at a clinic down in Texas.
Yep.
And just kind of pick his brain on some of the things that he's thinking. And I'm toying around with it. I think I'm going to, this offseason, I think I'm going to go all in on Triphasic and spend about 6-7 months of it and just see where it goes. I've never trained that way before. I've got a, you know, decent strength base to kind of go from it. So that'll be interesting. I'll be documenting that and putting that on social media and just kind of writing up my experiences with it. So
that's great.
I would check out that book. I'm not done with it yet, but it is a great book.
Absolutely.
Do recommend that.
Any website or app recommendations?
Not really a big app guy, personally. I've not been much of an app guy, but websites, I do like reading some different stuff from Juggernaut. I do like reading stuff that comes up from T-Nation as well, but just kind of going from there. I'm looking forward to your book. I'm trying to figure out when that's going to come out now.
Well, hopefully hopefully the 1st of September, that's what we're looking at. But it kind of, it's all in their hands, so I got to figure it out. But I appreciate that. No, it ought to be. It's been a fun project, but make sure we get you a copy.
Oh, man, I love it.
Well, buddy, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. I appreciate the way you're going about your business and you know, just the tie-in with Sornex and how great a people and company they are. Natural fit, man, and just really enjoy, you know, the things that you're putting out there from a training journal standpoint, from a standpoint of going and sharing your experiences going around different places. So appreciate you coming on the show, man.
No, it's an honor, man. This is something that means a lot to me. I really appreciate you having me on, man.
Thanks, buddy.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.